It's a Friday. This is the Closing Market Report. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass. He's from Agrible. Eric, we've got a lot of ground to cover. Let's start with this last week. It's just a wild weather week. Can you recap it for me?
Yeah. I mean, maybe we should step back even 2 weeks, just because when you look over that entire time period, we have some places in the middle part of the country, I'm thinking about parts of Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, that have had, you know, better than half of their annual rainfall in the last couple of weeks. It's just been, it's been unreal. I mean, it's just, I can't believe how much rain it's actually been. In fact, I tried to compare for the whole of the country to a, you know, our most recent really, really wet memory, which would have been 1993. And I was amazed to see that this spring so far has been so much wetter than that year. Even add to it the fact that since mid-May, we're approaching 4,000 separate severe weather reports, including just some of the horrific tornadoes you've seen rip through the Corn Belt. And I think everybody's just got what I call pattern fatigue. We're tired of this weather pattern and desperately hoping for a change. And I tell you, this last 2 weeks has felt like 2 years to me, and just the amount of workload it's put on me. So yeah, it's been crazy, and I'm ready for it to be done.
You know, I think there is a disconnect sometimes between the agricultural community and the regular consumer community, because I know the weather's been awful, but the rainfall and the amounts of rain, I'm not certain that the consumers actually get what's happening in the field, other than they do hear us talk about it. But man, this is just incredibly different than we've ever had before. And as you pointed out, that 93 time frame, if I remember correctly, we actually caught up at one point. And then we turned around and we got wet again sometime in July and August. And the big floods came much later in the year, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. They, you know, the 93 problem really, really got going about right now. So it was June, July, and August where things were so bad. But when you look, and we're smashing records on some of the rivers that feed into the Mississippi. So the Missouri River, the Arkansas River, several, the Illinois River, you know. In fact, I think we just had a declaration from our governor on some of the counties that surround the Illinois River and Mississippi. And this is a problem that just doesn't go away after a couple of weeks. It takes so long to get rid of this water. And I agree with you. I wish some of the people that maybe don't get out and drive through the country very often could just take a moment and do that, just to see what it's like to see lakes where there were no lakes, and to get close to these rivers to see how far outside their banks they are. You know, it's going to be tricky to understand how all of that, you know, bottom ground around the rivers is going to ever get planted this year. I just don't think it's a possibility given how bad things are. So, you know, you're right on all accounts when it comes to perception by the public of how bad the farming community is hurting right now with this rainfall pattern we've been in.
What's the short range local forecast for us in our part of the world?
Okay, the good news is today's a day to maybe get out the convertible. Okay, so if you can't get in the fields, go for a nice drive. I think we have a decent day today, but we're gonna be watching for more storms tomorrow. But then we start to see the pattern shifting a bit, and what I mean by that is the jet stream had been locked into southwestern trough, southeastern ridge, and that's a wide open tap on the Gulf of Mexico. We've now flattened out the flow of the jet stream. We've added much more subtle features, which just means we are no longer going to be in the super wet pattern we've been in. It is not to say in the coming days and weeks we're going to be dry, not even a stretch of that, but drier than what we have seen is going to be fantastic, except any rainfall that we get from now on is too much rainfall, just because we are so very, very wet. And so, you know, I could give you a forecast where I say, well, much of the middle of next week, you know, after Sunday, Monday, looks like we're going to have a decently dry stretch across maybe from North Dakota all the way to Eastern Corn Belt for 3 or 4 or 5 days. But even if you get that time period and there's just maybe a couple of regions in there to get some rain and then it starts raining again, we're done. We've set ourselves up for disaster with any additional rain. And that's going to be the problem. And just be thankful that, you know, most of our listeners right now are not down in Oklahoma, Kansas, down in Texas, Arkansas, Louisiana, because when I look at the long range forecast for the next 10 to 15 days, no change for those folks. They're just going to continue to get just a massive amount of rain. And it's coming straight out of the Bay of Campeche, coming straight out of the Gulf. It's just this tropical air that is soaking those folks. So no change down there, but maybe up here a little bit of relief.
Wow. So the rainfall, they're trying to get right now just the beginning of their wheat harvest. So that'll be just awful for them to try to move through that wheat harvest. And they're still trying, of course, to plant spring crops as well. Northern Corn Belt, Eastern Corn Belt, what kind of difference do you see?
Well, you know, in the Eastern Corn Belt, we have just been, our problem has mainly been, yes, there's been some heavy, heavy rainfall amounts, but it's been the frequency. Some locations have had over 30 of the last 45 days wet. So I'm actually seeing that back off a little bit. I'm seeing a less frequent rainfall pattern. And the Northern Corn Belt's actually been, the last 3 days, been relatively dry. And they're going to go a few more days of drier weather and warmer weather. Big ridge is coming over the Northwest, and it's going to heat up Montana. It's going to heat up parts of the Dakotas. They're going to be able to go. But remember, they wanted this a month ago because they're now a full week past their past their insurance date on corn planting. And so it's kind of like, well, thanks, but it's too late, you know?
So the pattern has changed slightly for the United States then.
Absolutely. It's a much flatter jet stream pattern right now. And I think the bigger concerns moving forward is what's going on across the whole planet. And what I mean by that is we've been watching carefully over the last few weeks the strength of the current El Niño, which has actually got the Pacific jet stream going so fast in the first place, which caused a lot of these problems. Well, it is weakening. Some cooler water is surfacing, and that's going to remove that as a dominant player as we move forward. And so why I'm concerned is if that happens, that is going to allow the atmosphere to probably move back into more central United States ridging. Now, I know that all of the long-range models have been giving a forecast for months that the rest of summer is going to be cool and wet. But we have to remember why they say that. Remember, when a model is initialized and there's a bunch of soil moisture already there, it is naturally going to have a cooler forecast simply because of latent cooling. That's what we call it. But what I know from history is that Mother Nature doesn't just obey, those simple things that we throw into our models. And what I mean by that is we're going to have to be on the lookout as we progress through June and then into July for the possibility that we may actually move over to a pattern that gets us hot and dry. Now, I have very low confidence in that right now, Vero, because a lot of things have to come together. But the ocean temperatures are cooling off the West Coast. That's one key. El Niño is weakening. That's another key. The quasi-biennial oscillation, and I know I'm getting a little nerdy here, but that is still strong. And those things, when they kind of come together, more often than not, give us more heat than they do more cold and wet. So we've got some competition here, and our next Friday conversation will be an important one because by that time we'll have all of the new model updates and they'll know the information I just gave you. So we're going to see how this all shakes down, but I just don't think the rest of this growing season is going to be smooth sailing when we get the crop in. And I hope I am wrong, that is for sure.
Yeah, on that getting the crop in, it's not about the amount of rain anymore. It's about how often it falls, right?
Exactly. And I think we're just going to continue to see that problem at least through the beginning of June. There will be a break. It looks as though middle of June, we're going to have a decent stretch of weather. But, I don't remember the last time I saw somebody in central Illinois plant June corn and be happy about it. Mid-June corn, I should say. So I think we're in for some trouble this year as we continue on this pattern.
Thanks, Eric.
Yeah, thank you.
Eric Snodgrass is with Agrible. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.